For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. This is the theme for our Holy Thursday service. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. How strange that sentence must sound to someone who doesn't know the story of Jesus of Nazareth. Certainly, there's nothing odd about remembering the deaths of people. We mourn the deaths of those we love, and we tell the stories of those who died heroic deaths, doing great things. But till he comes, what does that mean if the person we are acknowledging has already died? Of course, Christians know the answer. On this coming Easter Sunday, we'll hear once again the news of Jesus' resurrection and the appearance to his followers. The focus of Easter is a celebration of the message that he is risen from the dead. But for some people, that may just raise a different question. Why keep on proclaiming the Lord's death? If we really believe that he's risen from the dead and is alive, why not just proclaim the good news that he's alive and not keep dwelling on his death? You know there are Christians who are in churches this evening who will be there on Sunday morning but won't come to church tomorrow to recall the story of our Lord's condemnation and execution in a Good Friday service. It seems to them like holding a funeral for Jesus, and it just depresses them. But the story of Jesus' resurrection that we're going to hear on Easter Sunday won't make any sense at all to people if they don't know the story of his death. When the women came to Jesus' tomb on Sunday, an angel said to them, "I know who you are looking for, Jesus who is crucified. He is not here. He has been raised." The story of Jesus crucified and risen is the heart of the Christian message. The death and resurrection of Jesus are the essential part of the Christian message. You know, it should be no surprise to you that on many Sundays, our scripture readings won't say anything about Jesus' passion or his resurrection. We may hear texts from the Old Testament scriptures about the teachings of Moses or the prophets of Israel, or stories from the Gospels with Jesus' parables or his works of healing. Parts of the writings of Paul and the other apostles will also be read. The events of Holy Week and Easter won't be the focus of every sermon, though I must say it is my responsibility to link his death and resurrection to every sermon. The heart of the Christian message, which Paul sets out in Romans, is that although we have been estranged from God by our sins, we are reconciled to God through faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And while that message can be proclaimed without any mention of the Lord's Supper, the Lord's Supper cannot be celebrated without conveying the heart of the Christian message. If we participate in the celebration of the Lord's Supper, Paul says, we are proclaiming the Lord's death till he comes. Now, is there really such a thing as a good death? One of the things that is most difficult for me, and I assume for most pastors, is when we must observe the overwhelming grief that comes over those who have lost a loved one. Even Jesus wept at the news of the death of his good friend Lazarus. Grief is gut-wrenching and painful. There is a finality for which none of us are truly ready. It always comes as a shock, even when we're expecting it. And it doesn't matter to the grief-stricken if the deceased is a newborn baby or a 90-year-old grandparent. The loved one that was once so vibrant in death has become lifeless. The spirit is gone. Their presence is no longer with us. Such was the death of Jesus to all who loved him. Imagine how inspiring it was to the disciples to witness Jesus' miracles of healing, casting out of demons, even raising Lazarus from the dead, only then to experience the crushing blow to see his lifeless body taken down from the cross and placed in a tomb. Jesus had warned them several times of his impending suffering and death. Mark chapter 9 records Jesus saying, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise." But they did not understand what he was saying, and they were afraid to ask him. How could this powerful man of God suffer death as he described? Jesus died, and we may ask, why? Why did he have to die? Jesus told us in his own words, after a most familiar John 3:16 passage, he says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." There was something cosmically consequential for humanity being offered through his death, and that was salvation for all people. So on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread, he broke it, and gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after supper, he took the cup, and when he blessed it, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." That's why he died. This was God's will. In the words of St. Paul, this celebration that we're doing tonight is a proclamation of the Lord's death till he comes. His death would be the central point of history. Before the death of Christ, biblical history pointed toward the cross. But beyond it, it points back to the cross. It is to be remembered. It is to be proclaimed. It is God's salvation plan for us, even in 2023. To whom should his death be proclaimed? And why must it be proclaimed until he comes? It might surprise you when I say that his death celebrated in Holy Communion should be first proclaimed to ourselves, individually. Faith is an individual thing and must be apprehended by the individual first. Individually, you and I are the targets of this proclamation. But why this sacred meal, and why so often? In ancient days, a person who offended someone of higher position would have to pay a penalty and perhaps sometimes die for their offense. And that suggests a way to understand the work of Christ. Each one of us has offended God by our sins and must pay the penalty. Listen carefully. Since the offense is against God, the penalty is infinite, and no ordinary human can pay it. But But God, in his mercy, gave us Jesus, God in the flesh, true God and true man, to take our judgment upon himself. So to save his creation, to save you and me individually, God took on a human nature, was born as a man. He became human in order to pay humanity's debt. But he is also God, so his life has infinite value and can satisfy divine justice. Each one of us is saved when we put our trust in him and in his salvific work. Why do we proclaim the death of Jesus in Holy Communion? It is in this meal with our Lord where God imparts assurance. What a beautiful word. Assurance by providing a meal of bread and wine, but it's intertwined with his body and blood, which was shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins. There is something so mysterious about this meal that cannot be explained by philosophical mechanics or theories. We eat and we drink in faith, trusting the words of the crucified who said, "This is my body. This is my blood shed for the forgiveness of sins." Now, who of us does not need that kind of assurance regularly? As Luther says, we sin daily and we sin much. The powers of darkness work to destroy our faith, and we all have experienced those doubts that creep into our souls, causing us to question whether God is sincere in his desire to save us beyond the grave. Is there any medication or therapy stronger to remedy that fear and doubt that the supper whereby we only hear, not only hear, but eat and drink the proclamation that Christ died for you, for me, for the world? Because of Jesus' sacrificial death for us, we know that our death will not be our final destiny. Jesus unites us to himself through this sacred meal so that death will have no power over us. As Jesus rose from the grave, we too rise to new life, eternal life in him. Life belongs to those who trust in the sacrificial death of God's one and only Son for all sin. And that's why we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.